Thank you, CarScap. Thank you, West Indian Waterproofing. Thank you, Armstrong Agencies. Somebody pick on my language already. In studio, sitting in the chair opposite me, guest number one, no, not guest, guest number one. Smokey, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you and everyone listening. I got people all in New York and Toronto listening here.
Well, good afternoon, Toronto. Good afternoon, New York. And if it takes Smokey to bring you out, well, there's smoke, there's Smokey. Good afternoon. Happy crop over to you, my brother. It is good. I got a message yesterday, as a matter of fact, on WhatsApp that said, when Smokey comes in, and I hope I remember the message correctly, I don't have to go scrolling through all the WhatsApp messages, the brass tacks and everything to find it. But he said he's in Toronto, and he said he knew you from the days with the Fantastics. I'm just trying to remember if he did say Fantastics. I'm sure that's what he said.
The problem is the organization, though.
When you were with singing with them, right? Good.
I wasn't with the I was with the organization which had Lloyd Wilson, who was the keyboardist. Prior to that, with the Fantastics.
Right.
And at some point in time, also had Harold Ashley, bass player.
Mm-hmm. So those were the days when Smokey sang
and played.
And played, yes, and played rhythm and blues.
R&B.
So yesterday we also had a discussion about R&B. But I see a fellow working here hard, like you remember what he did in the hotel industry. I'm not calling anybody here. There was a fellow in here who used to be a bartender in the hotel industry. He mixed in Smokey tea. I hope it's only tea that in that, because you were a bartender. And you bartenders used to mix things and give people to drink that.
I can't touch nothing alcoholic.
Good, right.
Not that I can't. I have not been.
Well, this calls for discipline, Mr. Yes. Burke. Yeah, you're a disciplined fellow. Anyway, Smokey promised that this afternoon we're going to talk double entendre.
Double entendre.
Right. And I didn't tell him this yet, but when you talk about, I used the term just now, linguistic subtleties. Because, you see, Smokey went to a good school. You don't like to tell people that, because when you say he went to a good school, people will say, that's all you're doing, you're singing for a living. But anyway, Smokes, when we talk about queso, by the way, I could say queso, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Right. You know what I mean, right?
But do you know where that came out of?
No, you to tell me, see? Here we go.
The French spelling.
Right. Of?
Of C-A-I-S-S-E-A-U. Queso.
Queso. There you go. See?
Right.
That's why I talk about linguistic subtleties. We need to know the origins. I try to tell people, if you don't know where it's coming from, sometimes you make a mistake.
Yeah.
When I hear people talking about, or children today having difficulty with comprehension, I say quietly, some of the old people too. Because if you don't understand how to use the language, if you don't understand idiom, if you don't understand what's a pun, you won't know how to follow what's being delivered by the Calypsonian.
There you go.
And so when you school the fellas start, you know, using all these linguistic twists.
Yes.
Some people try to do what you do, call it double entendre, and there's no double in
there's
the word.
No double in it at all.
Right. Sometimes you get a pun. I was telling Sluggy the last time we were talking about kickback. I said to him, you know, you could say one man going to jail for a kickback while some men kick back and laughing, you know, while you're on the way to jail.
Excellent example.
Oh, thank you, Smokey. Thank you, sir. You see, I just get A from the smokers. No. But
the one that I always use, where the sentence is the same, the punctuation is the same.
Right.
I went in town and I see the body. I went down and I see the body. One living and one dead.
Mm-hmm. Just the difference in the nuance.
The inflection.
So we get to double entendre. And the fact that we use puns and they don't seem to get us into trouble. We use double entendre and it ends up being called smut. Why?
I know that when I first came back, started coming home, from, I was still living in Toronto.
Right.
And I did double entendre. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's singing smart. I know what he means. So I used to say to certain people, what do I mean? Mm-hmm. You mean X, Y, Z. Prove it. Mm-hmm. You think you know what smoking means. What you're doing is telling me what is in your mind.
Right.
Because if I have a double entendre with two stories running simultaneously, you can't tell me that I'm not thinking about the clean one. You could tell me that you think I'm thinking about the dirty one. But you can't prove it. Only Jesus could come around and say, smoking means the dirty one. Anyway.
But when you do that, Smokey, when you write like that, do you have to have two explanations in your mind?
Yes.
Should you be asked the question?
Listen to me carefully.
Mm-hmm.
When I write double entendre, especially political or social double entendre.
Oh, you can have that too?
Oh, yes.
But people say it's always smart.
No.
Okay.
There's sexually suggested double entendre,
mm-hmm.
like a certain song that's taken up all the...
The area, the chat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All season long.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this political double entendre. There's social, you can write a social commentary. Listen, Adrian Clark had a beautiful line a few years ago. They were talking about where politicians were talking about declaring their assets.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady declared hers, but nobody was convinced.
that was all?
And he said, some say she worth more, and some say she worth less.
Right? Ah, and that, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 I could, oh,
and I thought,
yes.
Oh, my God, I wish I had
Yeah.
That is.
Because, yeah, worthless has a, well, depends on how you say the word.
Worthless,
right, yeah.
So that is beautiful. Because nobody can carry court for that.
Yeah, that's a sweet line. That's right. A sweet line.
But what
you're
do
worth
it
more worth
with social and political commentary.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing a double entendre, even if it's just one line in the whole song,
mm-hmm.
I put myself in court. And I asked Mr. Burt exactly what.
Can you explain this to
right.
me?
Right. You know, and I set it up. I said, well, sir, seeing how I'm singing about. Listen, there's a famous song in Barbados. Whenever the West Indies or Barbados win a cricket match,
mm-hmm.
it gets played.
Mm-hmm.
That song has nothing
to do with,
to
cricket.
Do with cricket. Nothing at all. But as soon as the West Indies.
I know this song, right.
They played David Rutter's
Rally. And then they
played
song.
That song.
And that song is not about cricket.
Not about cricket.
I know.
It's so much not about cricket that has a line that is very wrong.
The difference between a googly and a Chinaman.
And like yeah.
Yeah, I know a little bit about cricket. Not a lot. A little bit. So, a little bit about cricket.
But you see, Barbadians are. We are still young. Relatively.
Mm-hmm.
To the nuances and so on of Kaiso.
Right.
Right? All Trinidadians alive today
mm-hmm.
were born into Kaiso.
Into Kaiso.
Born into Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
We got into Kaiso what, around the 80s?
That's when we kind of got hooked on it.
We started getting hooked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We had Calypso back in the 40s and so on.
50s.
But nobody
took them seriously. Took them seriously, yeah. They were considered jokers, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. People used to laugh at Lord Radio and the Mighty Charmer.
Yeah.
Et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these guys were good.
Of course they were.
It's just that we had a mindset that a Barbadian could not sing Kaiso. You had to be from Trinidad. You had to have a sing-song accent.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have that French in you.
Mm-hmm.
We have this rigid way of speaking.
Right.
Which to some people made it impossible for us to sing Kaiso. But we now have our own style of Kaiso. We don't sound like an Antiguan or...
Nope.
Well, some of us try the song Trinidadian.
That's because some Trinidadians write the song. And the only way you can get it to rhyme is the song like a Trinidadian, Smokey.
I'm glad you say that. When I was a youngster, I spent a year in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Calypso, my very first Calypso tent.
Right.
And a guy sang something, and I laughed for the rest of the night because I could not believe he could get those two words to rhyme.
To rhyme.
But that's how they pronounce.
That's correct.
I take a gal from the country, bring she quite down here. She tell me she go bring down all she furniture. Now how the hell do you bring furniture over here?
Furniture in here can't rhyme, right?
But how you pronounce it?
Yeah, furniture.
And for the rest of the night, I kept laughing because I didn't hear nothing else.
The furniture.
Down here,
and furniture.
She go bring she furniture. You know?
You see, Smokes, when we talk about dialect. I always tell people, I think Calypso was written with only dialect
in mind. Yeah.
There are certain words you could use that would either not sit happily on a queso rhythm.
Exactly.
So exactly. You struggle to bring it out.
Some people call it intellectual queso. But if you ever have intellectual queso, it'll be lost on most of the populace.
Go over their heads? Too highly flung or strong or placed?
I was accused in my early years of singing over the people's heads.
Right.
But I wasn't. It's just that we didn't get there yet.
You're ahead of the curve.
Right. Mm-hmm. When I was a little boy, my father was a journalist at The Advocate, which was the only newspaper at the time. And my father used to bring home people to hear me sing a song by the Mighty Sparrow called John and the Goat. Now, I did not understand until about 4 or 5 years later what John and the Goat was about. You know the song?
Yes, I know the
right?
song.
So we're talking 1950-something.
Which is why I bend down and chuckle.
I ain't not going to sing it on
no,
air.
No, I don't know, man.
But I knew all the words.
Right.
So he's singing loud.
The song, right.
My father knew.
What it was.
But he knew that I didn't know what I was singing.
It was.
I was just singing the words.
Right.
History repeated itself. One morning I was taking my daughter to school. She's the same little girl that sings on Christmas Shoes.
Christmas Shoes, yeah.
And the radio started to play, Put It in the Trunk. And my daughter sang every word at 6 years old. And I'm driving and looking at her out of the corner of my eye. And she's just singing nonchalantly. And I'm trying to figure out, does she know what she's singing?
But you write the song. You're a responsible man.
Strangely enough, when I wrote that song, that term was not yet invoked.
In what? Well, and this is the other thing I want us to talk about as we talk about the reaction of people to certain songs, certain quesos. Because unless you're familiar with the prevailing use of a particular term or word, it would not resonate with someone from a different generation.
Exactly.
Now, you're talking about Put It in the Trunk. I remember that one. And that's one of the reasons why I called you out, Too Smoky, because when everybody was talking about the current song that's heating up everybody, I kept saying, but why they keep going back to Sparrow Lizard, and why they keep going back to this song and that song? Nobody mentioned Smokey, because I can't remember anybody getting into more trouble with songs that the censors pass and the public say, oh, you shouldn't pass that. Oh, sorry, when you shouldn't pass that, Smokey singing worthlessness.
Right.
And then Dennis Johnson bringing him to talk a load of foolishness on the paper radio and trying to explain he rubbish. You know how much licks I get for you, boy?
Thank you. Anyhow,
so I kept saying, but where's Smokey? Because I remember, and the trunk came up because Sparrow has a song. I think it's called If It There Late Stay There. Now, if you hear that name, it says nothing to you looking at the name of the song.
Exactly.
So you look at a Sparrow album and you see If It There Late Stay There. And you say, okay, Sparrow, If It There Late Stay There. And then you put on the song and you get into a speed wobble.
Right.
What do you do at that point, Smokes? You say good afternoon, people, and walk out the door, right?
Right.
So there's some songs that, you know, it
But you
it
see,
works.
Put It in Drunk. Put It in Drunk taught me.
How far not to go?
Not to call the song.
The name? The line? Okay.
You understand?
You learn from it.
I had a song called, initially it was, She Want Me to Kill the Cat. But I knew if I sent the radio station, they ain't gonna play.
No, they won't.
Ban.
No, they won't.
Without listening. What you call it? Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. Right? Catastrophe.
The whole day.
Right? I'll give you one on that one too. A song came into the station one day, and I took it to then program manager David Ellis. And we sat down and we listened to it, and we both laughed hysterically. And you know, we both said at the same time, this one not going on air. And David said, why? You said that. I said, well, there's no such thing as a cat license. Right? Because the guy said, men getting locked up all the time for not licensing their dog.
Right.
People getting carried, men getting carried to court every day for not licensing their dog.
But not
a dog license, hold on, a dog license is only $5 and they won't pay that.
Right.
But they pay more than that for a word that rhymes with that. And I go, but we don't have cat license. So while it may be an interesting line, it's not gonna pass the censors. But we laughed. It was funny.
I understand.
It was funny.
Yeah. You know,
put on your headsets. This person keep calling, so I guess they want to talk to you. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Fireworks, good afternoon.
All I wanted to say.
All you wanted to say is
that you have a song there with Triple
Entendre. Hold on. You're echoing a little bit, so turn down the radio so Smokey can hear you. We got a song with what? Triple Entendre?
Yeah. I'm coming for the whole day. Come go and visit some girl up in St. John's.
Yeah, that's Smokey too.
That have three interpretations.
I hope you don't try to interpret all three of them on the radio, because my finger hears over the button.
Smokey knows what I mean.
Smokey knows what you mean by triple entendre?
Pardon?
Smokey knows what you mean by triple entendre?
Yeah. That could be interpreted three ways.
Three different ways.
Right. I've had a few of those, yeah.
See, the first one means I'm coming to spend the whole day.
Yes, sir. Sir.
The other two, right? Play some music and I will tell you.
I will find this song. No, I get a lock up. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
How are you, sir?
I'm pretty okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Burke. How are you doing, man?
I good.
Nice to hear you. And I'm very glad that you're dealing with this subject. I'm going to identify myself to you all. My name is Mickard.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember Mickard.
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir.
The fat pork guy?
Yeah.
That is correct, sir.
Well, I read it right? When I take my pen, I try this. This treatment with double entendre. Mm-hmm. Every song I write down that line of vein. And people tell me that all of my songs muddy. From 2012 when I sang one with KFC. Sorry to call the name. Sorry about that.
No,
I sang one with Devin. It was giving the meat. With the food with a spoon with a treat called a spark. I sang one called Not a Fork. And people say, let he get not a fork. And people say that was bad. Then I bring fat pork, and people lick me up. The other way, the station played and won't play it, but Dennis, I'm happy that you all played it for me. And I got to say thanks to you all. Then I bring one called Kim. People tell me, we're going to roll with Kim. I said, we're looking for Kim. And a man asked me, who are you looking for? I said, for Kim. I'm looking for Kim. And they tell me that should be banned too. Then I bring one with the coolie man named Ora Pandora. And I said, I tell Ora Sella. I can't say Ora Sell. The proper English language, you got to put in the passage, Ora Sold. And I said, I cursing.
Yes, you were.
I was.
I only joking, sir. There's I think it was Super D. Let me make sure I get the right guy, because I don't want to call the right name at the wrong time. Had a song called Ah Sold, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't say I sold. We usually say, well, I sold it to him, you know? So I sold my car to Smokey, you know, and I sold my house things. The problem with that particular song was at the end of it, he said all of them are sold. But you see, when you sing in the tent,
you can't pronounce.
That is correct. So when you call it, you know, people then come and say, but I hear it in the tent, and he cuss. So those give the radio station a little challenge at times. Because Smokey would tell you that there were times that he did songs that passed the censors.
Yeah.
But it didn't pass the public raised a noise about it.
Yeah.
Yes, Smokes.
There was a song from Trinidad by a man called Squibby,
mm-hmm.
called Iron Man.
Right.
She tell me she want a man, A man who could charm iron.
Yeah, I know that one.
I tell him, she, I am the man and I am the champion. I come down from Iron Land. She's still balling, give me iron. Oh, she's on, give me iron. And if you see me in the middle of the barn with my iron in my hand, it's a licketing and licketing along. You see that last line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That takes it out.
Clear up.
Clear it out. Yeah.
I like to listen to those guys in Trinidad. Right. Double entendre.
That's double entendre there, but. They had a man called Zandali.
Oh, Zandali was bad.
Nothing doable about him.
No, I know that. Zandali was straight. Zandali was covered.
Right?
I mean, look, and this is why, sir, and thanks for raising the issues with it. Smokes, the other question I wanted to put to you as someone who knows language and uses language in a particular way to create just the image you want without stepping on the line.
Exactly.
One of the things I want you to focus for a little bit on when we come back to talk to you on this edition of Fireworks is how you get to the line without crossing the line. Because, and the other thing is differentiating a tent song from a one that would get past the censored song. Because right. I know, again, because you know Trinidad Kaiso, you remember, I'm going to bite them young lady partner like a hot dog or a hamburger. But if you're tin, don't be in a fright. It's only big fat women I'm going to bite.
Right.
And it was supposed to be a bed bug singing it, but just saying.
Yeah. Yes.
It could have been anything. Fireworks 2019. Boy, I am having a ball and two bats. West Indian Waterproofing, Armstrong Agencies, and Cost Gap. And Smokey smiled at that one. Smokey Burke is in the studio with me. Let me go straight to the phone lines. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Smokey.
Yes, sir.
How are things?
Oh, well, most things are good, but you know.
Okay. You know who this is?
The voice is very familiar, but I will get it. Keep talking.
Anyhow, I have to remind not only about double entendre, you know,
where we went,
we heard about alliteration.
Yes.
Many Monday mornings, my mother Mary made me write Mr. Manny's Mad Mary Matilda.
Yes, correct.
Right? And things like that. But I want to remind you all that the Merry Men had a song written by Robin Hunt called Ra the Salesman. I don't know if you...
I don't recall it. Maybe I need the hook line.
Okay, well, this Ra was a Rasta guy, and a tourist came to the island, and he couldn't understand what the Bajans were saying. Everywhere he went, he was hearing about this thing, so he asked somebody, and the tongue-in-cheek told him, well, Ra is a salesman. Well, you say, well, he would go somewhere, and he hear, well, Ra sold a bus, and Ra sold a car. And so on and so on. So Ra was an international salesman.
I'm not familiar with that song.
All right. That was written by Robin Hunt. The next thing was taking it back to somebody that also was very, very good at these kind of things was Lord Funny.
Oh, he was a master.
Right?
Yes.
So I just wanted to put my little piece in there.
Yeah. All right. So
I was going to mention him a little later.
Who was that? Funny?
Funny.
Yeah, Funny had a way of putting things together that even when you asked him and he explained,
right,
until he sang it, you were getting into trouble. I remember once Funny being asked over and over about, you know, this song that he was doing, whether it was clean and it could go. He said, it's about a dance. Isn't that no big thing? You know, people dancing, a new way to dance. And, you know, you're moving parts of your body, you know, your back. Your wrist, your hand, and thing, and thing. And Funny get up there and start about digging iris backside, yes, iris backside, yes. Iris backside, and people going, what, and yeah. Scrambling. You know, because Funny had a way of throwing words together. Mr. Fingal,
all right,
also did one about poke him in his eyes, which is the correct way to say it in English.
In English, but it can't work in Kaiso.
You can't put that in a calypso, you know. If you get vexed with him, poke him in his eyes, please.
Poke in the eye. Well, and if he's in the ball, he ain't going to want you pokey at all.
So,
did I get past the censors?
I don't think it did. Well, if it did, it didn't play because people would call and say, well, play worthlessness, take it off.
He had,
go ahead.
He had one about a dog.
Yes.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Yes, I know that one.
Right? Mm-hmm. I want that doggy.
But right? You see, and here's the other thing about, and that's why I told you, Smokey, about how it was done. I remember Ronnie saying that he played a song that was done by Fingal. And he played it and he said, but this is a nice song, you know. You're eating too much Percy.
Right.
He said, Admiral called him and said, Ronnie, listen to the song again. It's Mac. And he sat down and went, oh, but there ain't no doubling Percy. Yes, Mr. Burke. Scholar, sir.
I want to show you some duel that has no sex.
At all?
At all.
According to you?
Ain't got none.
Okay, right.
It is social commentary. Sandy ran down there. This body ran down there. That's a double entendre.
Yeah. Ran down, yeah.
Right?
And Sandy didn't sue either, come to think of it.
Thomas Steele in there. Yeah. You see Serenade? Serenade is a master. Serenade is one of the most underappreciated, underrated monarchs we have in Barbados. Most people take Serenade for granted. Most people don't even remember Serenade. But let me tell you something. Serenade called me one day, tell me, I got a title for you. I said, well, what was the song? He said, no, only you can write this song. I said, well, he said, I'll come for the whole day. So I went over my head initially.
Initially. And then you sat back and thought.
I said, all right, sir, I can work. You see, I got it. I lied and told him yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have it.
Right.
Right, but about 10 minutes later, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. It's when I was writing it.
That you saw what he said.
I said, oh, Lord. It's a big one. I'll come for the whole day. How you spell whole, right?
Right, yeah.
So there you go. One night, I was on a show at Plantation. I want to show now, it depends on who.
Does the song?
Who's doing the song. Mm-hmm. Visions will criticize depending on who the artist is.
Not the only song. The artist, on who the announcer is to. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, I had to throw that one in. Yeah, so
I don't mind. I understand you.
I know.
But I was on a show with, I think Adrian Clark was on the show. I don't remember who, Pompey.
Mm-hmm.
A few other visions. But they had Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
They had the man, Crazy.
Crazy.
I had this guy from St. Vincent.
Teaser?
No.
Beckett? No? Which one?
Not from St. Vincent, from Antigua.
Antigua. Yeah, we swallow short shirt.
Short shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I was the last of the visions to go on. I did a comfort the whole day, and I did Catastrophe.
Catastrophe, right.
Two things happened on my way off stage. John King, Pompey, and somebody came to me and said, listen, you know phrasing Kaiso. Which made me feel good, right? Because these are Kaiso icons.
Mm-hmm.
To see you know phrasing your the R&B gone out of your
gone
voice.
Gone out of your voice.
A lady came to me and said, you the sing bear worthlessness. I don't know what they put you up on the show. In the second half, that said woman was up front singing with Gypsy. Ah, she ma for she.
Yeah,
she went enjoying herself.
Yeah.
Monday,
she went 4K, right? Yeah. The 4K mom is
so
here.
So it
again
depends
again.
On who
sings
is
the song.
Singing the song.
Well, Smokey, I can't disagree with you because I think sometimes people either like you or they don't like you. You can't change that.
That's it.
And therefore, whatever you do becomes a topic for discussion.
Correct.
Either if you did a good one,
Beijing's still love it, but
I like that song.
It was a good one, but he's normally saying worthlessness. But
I usually use that one too from time to time. I say it must be a Beijing though, because I too love a butt.
And that's also a double entendre.
Of course it is. I got it.
No, I know you. I said that for the benefit
of those who are getting there.
Those who are listening.
Fireworks, good afternoon. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hi, this is Glyn Murray.
Good afternoon. Glyn, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. I could not resist calling. for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, the subject that you're focusing on, and secondly, the maestro you have at your side. These are the subjects. But my buddy,
maestro.
No, but I know you know Smokey's a maestro. I would say that, but
thank you.
I like to draw his attention. One occasion he let me down.
Go ahead.
He has a song called "Characters in Town." Characters of the City, which really, in its truth, is a compilation, is a bit of social history
mm-hmm.
in Barbados that it captures all those street characters that we had in Barbados mm-hmm. 50, 60, 70 days an hour.
Right.
All of them. But there was one when he was talking about Humba. Remember that one?
I said Jokey Water.
Jokey Water.
Because I did not want to use the word he used.
Right.
Because the song would get banned off of that one word. But I knew that anybody who lived during those times would know it was not Jokey.
Yeah, you know, that's right. But I'm not sure if Dennis appreciates it. But
Blind. You would like me to expose myself in public? Okay, right. I pull up.
That can also be a title of a song.
That's correct.
But I want to commend Smokey for his battle over the years and his contribution, which, as I say, is a maestro in that regard. And like he said, Serenita was much underappreciated. I think he also is greatly underappreciated.
You know, and I am glad you made that comment, Glenn. And this is one of the things I want to raise with Smokey. I'm glad you're here for it as well, because perhaps you could join me on this one. I remember Lord Mark,
yeah.
Whichever one he wanted to use, depending on what he was doing. People criticized Mark Lord with something that I thought could not be used as a criticism. He sung too much like Sparrow. Well, if Sparrow is one of the best Calypsonians the world has ever seen, we have acknowledged this. Why would somebody who sung like him be run off the scene? I couldn't get worked out in my mind when I came to Barbados and people were criticizing Mark for sounding like Sparrow.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
And then
Glenn.
Smokey used to get criticized. He's singing R&B.
Yeah. But and, you see, Bezos have a saying which goes like this. When a goat roll wants to roll, it will roll up a hill.
There you go, Glenn. Beautiful.
Smokey writing Kaisos here. Okay, Glenn.
Beautiful, Glenn.
So if you want to pick at you and find a reason to criticize, they'd find anything and they'll bend over backwards, they defy gravity and logic to do it. Go ahead, Smokey.
No, our first prime minister put it differently. He said that, let me see, there's not a solution that Beijing can't find a problem for.
He also used a phrase in talking about describing certain civil servants as having submerged to the top.
To the top, right. Correct, yes.
But let me Smokey is so good that there's a song that was the city,
Characters of the City,
that I decided when I wrote my book, Barbie's Customs to Treasure, and I realized that these were vanishing. My book is about treasuring and appreciating and recording these aspects of social history,
mm-hmm.
and social behavior. I have it word for word in the book because I felt that was the only way that people can appreciate it. It's a song that really captures that aspect, which is no longer exists. They're not funny, entertaining characters that people go to.
Exactly.
Come to see these characters anymore. But that's an era that's long since gone.
But I want to tell you, Glenn, that I was and still am extremely proud that you put me in your book. That was a little humbling for me. Burrata did the same with another song, which I can't remember which song it is now, in his book.
Right. So his book is called Different Beat. There are some different drummers, some of that.
Something like that, right? So right. I know that at least those two songs are there in perpetuity, you know?
Yeah. But as regards the Man song, that song Rasty Salesman, I think it was only played in Barbados War.
Once.
On the air one, so that's why a lot of people know about it.
That's the other thing, Glenn, that hopefully during the course of this conversation with Smokey, we're going to get to look at how standards have changed over the years.
Exactly.
And songs that may have been considered risque, and possibly you could play it depending on the time of day or night, that social media and the changing of our standards have allowed certain things to go unchecked that in the past would not have done so.
I'll try to explain it to you in sociological terms. But let me tell you the story about this tourist came to Barbados. And he asked, but who is this famous, this must be a hell of a salesman, because everywhere you go, I hear that Ra sold this. Ra sold a mother, a sister, a boat, even sold a policeman. Mm-hmm. If I even say, and he said so loud, I get arrested and went to court. But it's a funny song, mm-hmm. very cleverly written, but this is where you have community standards, what is known as community standards. Now sociology talks about values and norms as regard as they're either statistical norms mm-hmm. or they are theoretical norms. Statistical norms is a song at which during some voices a tent sound mm-hmm. that people will go and enjoy that song in a tent.
Right.
That's where the everyday practical thing comes to bear. But when you are dealing with community standards, community standards are supposed to represent the ideal.
Right.
So when those are offended, that's where what people consider hypocrisy comes into being. But it's not hypocrisy, it's that in all societies, there are these community standards as against the statistical, practical, everyday norm, which if you care a survey, people say, no, that's not wrong with it. But if it's saying in a certain context, or in a certain place, a certain time,
then it becomes
offensive.
Yeah.
Right? And let me tell you about Serenade. Serenade has a song called Urine in Town.
Yes.
You remember that one?
Yeah. I know all the Seri songs.
He talks about the smelly alleys down
there. Yeah, yeah.
Right? He has one called Insects. Have Insects.
Yeah.
Right? Right? There's another one called Strike Tonight. He's called, he had this girlfriend. And the teachers were striking, the nurse striking, everybody striking, workers striking. But you know, when he comes one day, he's not striking today. You know, he's not striking that night.
No, Seri ain't easy, man.
You know, there's another one called Peace. I want peace.
Yes, I remember that one.
But there's one now that I don't think has ever been heard already called Screwdriver.
Screwdriver, yeah. Well, Smokey had one too, right?
Stanley.
Smokey had Stanley screwdriver. It was Smokey had Stanley screwdriver.
Stanley has one that
that's just screwdriver.
Screwdriver. He had this car, giving a girl a lift in town. It has a good story, right? And the girl was complaining about the car driving, mm-hmm. and she wants him to cover the backseat. She had him fix it for the backseat.
Okay.
Right? Well, so it goes on that line.
It goes on that line. Now, Smokey talked about two stories side by side line, and
right.
he says you got to carry it right to the end to get the full extent of the story. Right. The question I'm going to ask you is, have we stopped going to the end to get the story, and is that compounding the challenges we have with the music today?
That's right. I think it's a lack of creativity and imagination and talent.
Mm-hmm. And also a lack of understanding language, whether it be dialect. Or English.
Unfortunately, with so many people saying they're coming out of school, coming out of fifth standard, haven't done CXEs, a lot of them can't read nor write. It is difficult to understand the use of to appreciate the funny use of the language.
Glenn?
It really is. Those are the basics.
When I was in first form, we had a teacher from Ireland called Jack Smale.
Right.
Who used to teach English.
A school called Smale Academy.
Exactly.
Right.
And one day, there was a guy called Atkinson, son and nephew of two Atkinsons that played cricket for the West Indies.
Dennis and Eric.
Right.
Right.
And sure how long ago it was, O'Henry Chocolate Bar had just come to Barbados.
Right.
So obviously, fellas like me or you couldn't afford it. We had that kind of money to spend.
On chocolate.
Atkinson had a big O'Henry chocolate bar that he bought at lunchtime, but he ate in the period right after lunch. He would hold the desk, take a bite, chew for a little bit, put back on the desk. So obviously, after a while, the smell permeated the classroom.
Good word.
And Smale realized is Atkinson. So Smith got up quietly when the desk lid was up as Atkinson and ran and grabbed the desk lid when he was trying to put it down and caught him with a mouthful of what Henry. He said, Atkinson, you have two choices. You can go to the headmaster, or you can stand up in front of the class and say, oh, Henry, in as many ways as you can. But obviously, he did not want to go to the headmaster. So he stood in front of the class, rather sheepish, and said, oh, Henry. Jasmine said, and? Sir, oh, Henry. Jasmine said, Atkinson, listen. Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. I went on for about 10 minutes.
Just said, oh,
and I woke up. That thing wake up. I thought, ooh. Inflection. I probably did not use the word inflection at the time.
Yeah.
But I realized that when you take that word, those two words, depending on how you said them, they can mean almost anything. Henry. Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. And go, the man went on and on, and the class was going nuts.
Obviously.
Right?
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
My father that you worked with.
Yeah, I know, really.
Was also an English dog.
And a great shorthand writer, too.
You understand?
There is no word shorthand.
Yes, sir. Man, you gave Glenn, I can be 62 at the end of the month. I come down here last week. and you used to have the secretaries used to have take exams to write shorthand and them.
He did Pittman shorthand, yeah. Not Greg.
Right.
There were two That's types right. of shorthand, and he was also a very fast typist.
Right.
You know, I want to tell you something. I think I can say this on air. Whoever's listening could decide.
Turn off the radio.
Right.
Well, okay.
Once my dad was at home typing up, because after he left the Advocate, he became a what you call a thing reported in
the House. The House of Serbia, right. Yeah. In Parliament, right.
And he was typing.
Hansard reporter,
correct.
Hansard, right.
And one of my cousins had come home from Washington, D.C. And he asked my father, Uncle Willie, have you ever had a clap? And without stopping, my father said, boys, I had a standing ovation.
A standing ovation,
right? I mean, one day my father went to Miss Holford at the corner who used to sell greens and ground provisions. Miss Holford, how you selling the pears? Said, Mr. Burke, my pears are $1. My father said, Miss Holford, not that kind of pear. I want one. And poor Miss Holford
had a clue what he was talking about.
He was sharp, right? I grew up with that. I grew up with that. So my English had to be good.
Yeah, but since I have you two linguists here, let me ask the question I was going to ask Smokey, but Glenn, you're here as well. When we talk about a lack of comprehension at the 11 plus for children, isn't that then reflected in what they write, what we sing in soca, what we sing in calypso, why we have the complaints sometimes that we hear in the same lines rhyming the same way over and over?
Of course. And it's compounded by officialdom. Remember?
Yes.
Last week it was the lack of appreciation of language and using its appropriate tense and text. Dialect has been standard English. It has gone through the windows. Now anything goes. Where, for example, where officialdom, the NCF can put on an ad about the discount or the sale of the tickets. $50 to $20. Cover Yavat. Cover Yavat. What is wrong with saying cover your vat? Now, people still get the message.
Exactly.
But what it does is reinforces the use of language.
Of dialect, yeah.
You don't have to get the lessons in dialect. People learn dialect informally. Every time you open your eyes as a baby environment, you hear it.
There was a time that some people were pushing the fact that we should push Bajan and not standard English.
Yeah.
That was right when you're in Barbados or talking to a Bajan. But when you go to New York or London,
and you start to speak
to somebody who does not understand or speak Bajan, what are you going to do?
That's why they were talking about nation language is what they're talking about.
Exactly. Well,
and then remember the black workers had Ebonics?
Ebonics.
Ebonics.
They're gone. truly
because,
I don't.
Because it made sense to nobody, a person, but people in the ghetto.
So that's, listen, it, comprehension, that's right?
Yeah.
When I was at primary school, comprehension was a class by itself.
Correct.
Of course.
Yeah, and the true. Teacher read out something, you listened,
and you,
and then they asked you, questions.
Yeah. And you had to respond.
And you had to respond. Yeah. I also, at high school, did comprehension in French.
Yeah, of course. I did French.
So yeah. why when you want to sing your smut, you don't sing it in French?
In French?
Like other Calypsonians did. I'm not calling anybody names.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Barbados is not a
French island.
A country of two languages. Well, two what? Not French.
I will say this tongue firmly stuck in cheek.
Which one?
I will say this. there is a piece of a calypso that people use all the time to justify things. 60 million Frenchmen could not be wrong. I has asked right. them, you know what that song about?
Yeah.
And they haven't a clue.
That's right.
And they say, but you know, and sometimes they don't even say 60 million, they say 20,000 because they don't even know the figure. But the song itself that line comes from is not clearly above board.
No.
But if you listen to the words of the song. But yeah.
Yeah, that's refreshing for me. I have two more points I'd like to.
Go ahead, sir.
Before you go. Mm-hmm. One is that this language, this use of the decline and the degradation of language are reflected in everything that's happening now. For example, do you realize that there's a paucity, a dearth of MCs and or comedians?
Yes, there is.
We are not producing any of those anymore.
Seriously? Because Glenn, we believe that to be an MC or to be a comedic MC, yeah, be stupid, and they don't want to be seen as stupid.
They don't get it.
But to the extent now that I see where attempts are being made to turn certain
characters into MCs,
singers or would-be singers into MCs,
yeah.
And the people who can barely enunciate clearly. You have to have a familiar language, the nuances of language, do but on everything, you have to be able to communicate or the occasion properly. And we are not producing, the society is no longer producing people like that. So I wonder what is going to become of the entertainment sector when the day will come when nature will say that we have done none to
offer. We import them.
My take on it is that everything happens in cycles.
Yeah.
And that, listen, Guyana was once one of the poorest countries in this part of the world. Guyana is no longer down there.
Yeah.
They discovered oil, and Guyana, in another 3 to 5 years, will be the country of the Caribbean. Everybody will run to Guyana for money, for oil, for land.
For women. Well, they went there already.
We went there already.
I get your point, okay? I agree with that.
Everything happens in cycles.
And that's why Glenn, Smokey apparently again, I got to give him this one, was ahead of the curve. Because I am sure that looking here, he has one that says, bring the government down.
Right.
And
right.
I think it's bring the government down.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And he was supposed to bring them down to Guyana.
To Guyana.
Yeah. Because that point about Guyana, I understand the nature of cycles and cyclical acts of human behavior, but there should be no cycles in teaching people the basics. If you don't know the basics, it can't exist. The basics should be a part of your how societies sustain themselves. How cricket? There's no accident. I don't believe in coincidences. There's no accident that the West Indies cricket team is the way it is because they have forgotten. They have moved away from the basics of the game.
And the history.
They can't feel, don't know how to move the ball, the crease. And all of that, those are the best. If you can't do the best in any field, it leads to disaster. Right? My last point, though, has to go back to Serenade Song, Screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why I remember it so well, apart from the cleverness of the language, and it's not by no means can be considered, but for some reason it's not gotten the exposure in Barbados that it had. When I was in Ottawa as High Commissioner, I had a cocktail party in honor of Tom, the late Tom Clare. He had just received some award. So, you know, we had, of course, when I was in Canada, the officer, I only played basic music. At Christmas, it was basic Christmas music. As you call the High Commission, you would hear recordings. He was the call to hear the basic music, jazz, gospel, Christmas, independence. That is the way it was. We lived Barbados. Anyhow, I put on this serenade CD, and the screwdriver started to play. Now, we probably had about 100 people there, right? Mm-hmm. This song not only carries, it has a fantastic groove, great melody, fantastic groove. And next thing, you know, put down glasses, push away a table, it became a dance party. I mean, though there's a cocktail party, all dressed up and wanting to be informal, very proper, right? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, listening to you,
That song transformed a standard cocktail party into a regular party just by the music and the language of the song. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it. You know, so I just thought I'd add that to the table. There's a place for that kind of writing, you know, any clever writing, in staying before descending into what I wanted. There'd be always a place for snap because people, that's part of human nature. But I think really arts are concerned, and really arts where people are seriously concerned, that people have to be able to be more careful, have to be more understanding, because society's values and interpretations are all that change. Things that, I remember Smokey, remember this, in the 60s, 70s, it would not be acceptable in Barbados to walk down and eat.
No.
A ham cutter?
No. You had to go and sit down in a restaurant.
Or for a young lady to wear shorts in Bridgetown or hair or curlers.
Exactly.
Well, I know what happens. So we go through all these, like you said, all these changes in
social
values and
changes,
kind of
yes,
and whatnot,
yes.
Right? But the same thing is, let us appreciate the our Barbadianness, retain our Barbadianness. Otherwise, we would just be not even a good carbon copy of somebody that's one of these days. Just be a hate stand. And you could be anybody in this world if you don't contribute to society. Let me make my last point. I hear you talk about pronouncing Barbadian words in terms that only Barbadians can, using language. This is not the first time I mention it, but you talk about using other people's language in Calypso, Dingalay, Ramajer.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I am yet to hear any trader talk about Wakap. Too bad. They were talking about bus of wine. And you hear business saying they're bus of wine. Business don't talk about bus of wine. You talk about you're whining. Or you're walking up. Or you're bus of lime. You say you're going liming. And so when you think that you are being cute, and you are really degraded and discarded.
I think a lot of people do that to be accepted.
But you see, Glenn, I will let that be my comment on it as well. And thanks for sharing it with us. My thing is this: when I hear our artists talking, they say, "I want to take my music to the world," and apparently they think that to take the music to the world, they have to use language other than the language that only Bajans could understand. Unfortunately, they're using Trinidad writers at times. Die With My Dignity. Singing Sandra says, I want to try a Ratchifi. And every time I heard a Bajan, Calypsonian, female, or anyone singing karaoke, trying to sing that line, they never got that word because they don't know what a Ratchifi is. It is not a Bajan term.
Exactly.
And they can't find a Bajan word to substitute. So they've always been stuck on Triorachifi. 23 minutes after 3, Fireworks, in association with West Indian Waterproofing, Armstrong Agencies, and Costcap, Smokey Burke is with me.
Communication the man is having with a Guyanese. This Guyanese is telling Smokey what he should do in terms of CSME and how Barbados can benefit Guyana. So check the song in that perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, Smokey Burke, bring the government down from a Guyana perspective. Let's welcome him on stage. Big social commentary.
Thank you. Long distance call from Guyana. This me old partner Steve. He say happy to hear you, Bana. By Guyana in trouble like you won't believe. Crime and violence is be staple. Together with racial disharmony. Ever so politically stable. Smokey, bring your government down to help on me. 3 terms is a long, long time. Another would mean more crime. Oh, Seymour is past his prime. He said, razor sharp, I know all about gems.
That could bring the government down.
Who get Biden, sell out the Dems.
That could bring the government down.
Which minister is not a Rhodes scholar.
That could bring the government down.
Which one love to give golden shower.
That could bring the government
he
down.
He said, smokes you could fuss and cuss. Boy, I know all about Barbados. I have friends and relatives living there. 20 in one room, we love to share. I hear Serenada want the next crown.
That could bring the government down.
At long last, he could get a good song.
That could bring the government down.
Ready, bang.
The Starcom Network and